Hare Krishna. So, because there's just a little short time and you've been having wonderful kirtan, I will just speak shortly without chanting Jai Radha Madhava at this time. A little bit about the wonderful advent and pastimes of Sri Nityananda Ram, whose merciful appearance day we are observing today. It is said that as Lord Chaitanya's pastimes are more pleasing than Lord Krishna's, similarly, Lord Nityananda's pastimes are more pleasing than Balaram's. Well, Balaram was very famous for his very dramatic pastimes where he would chastise and kill so many demons. And he did this with great strength and great enjoyment. And just like he was ready to take Hastinapur and just toss it into the ocean, and he was very happy to kill Roma Harshanasutta, so many demons. Nityananda was never angry. He had a different mood. Akrodha Paramananda Nityananda Roy. He was the giver of Krishna Prema Bhakti. Lord Chaitanya said that those who develop love and affection and respect for Lord Nityananda will develop the same love and respect and affection for me. And all the demigods, headed by Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma, they all worship Lord Nityananda. Lord Chaitanya further instructed that if someone thinks ill, someone thinks bad thoughts of Nityananda, he must fall down, even if he's a devotee. And if someone professes to be my devotee, but ignores Nityananda, then he's not my devotee. There were many wonderful, wonderful pastimes of Lord Nityananda that could fill the entire 24 hours of this whole day, beginning with his birth in Eka Chakra. At the time, Eka Chakra was a very famined place. It was all kinds of poverty and distress. But upon the advent of Lord Nityananda, immediately all of these symptoms of distress and poverty vanished. Just like today we heard that when Nityananda disappeared from Eka Chakra, everyone became stunned and all things happened again. It was like a ghost town. There was such distress. Prior to his arrival, those same symptoms were there. But upon his arrival, immediately, just like during kirtan, when we clap our hands, there's many reasons to do this. One is some people may be just thinking we're clapping our hands to keep time to the music. But actually, this clapping of hands, it chases away the demons of doubt and envy and all bad things. So simply by his appearance, like one mighty clap of the hand, Lord Nityananda's appearance just caused all these ill omens, all this distress and famine to just fly away from Eka Chakra, and it became filled with such joy. In that place, there was one deity of Maheshwara, which was worshipped by Nityananda. He was the eldest son of Padmavati and Hadai Pandit. And he concealed his identity. In other words, he did not allude to the fact of his real identity. Rather, he was playing happily, just as a small boy among his friends. But his very pastimes in themselves gave a little clue of his nature. Because, as mentioned today, his pastimes were completely those of Lord Krishna's pastimes. Sometimes all the boys would get together and they'd make like a whole squadron of demigods. And at one point, one of the young boys appeared to play Mother Earth. And another time, they enacted the pastimes of the marriage of Vasudev and Devaki. They enacted also the pastime of Lord Krishna being born. They did this at night when everyone was sleeping, and they created an entire scenario complete with a jail cell. They also played the pastime of Putana. And for all these wonderful pastimes, they had complete paraphernalia that they made themselves, including costumes and so many other things. They made a small cart out of straw and reeds, and they enacted the pastime of Krishna breaking the cart. And sometimes they were even stealing from the neighborhood cowherd men's houses, just like Krishna and Balaram would do. One time, Nityananda made snakes out of leaves. And then he took these leaf snakes and all the other boys to a lake. And then one of the boys jumped in the lake. And then he just stopped moving. And it was Nityananda who later revived him. They went to Talavan and they killed Dinakasura. And then afterwards, in great jubilation, they were eating bale fruit. They enacted the killings of Bakasura and Agasura and Ratasura. And they enacted the pastime of lifting Govardhan Hill. They created a miniature Vrindavan, and they enacted the pastime of the gopis' clothes being stolen by Krishna. One boy dressed up as Nanda Maharaj, as Narada Muni, and he gave Kamsa the secret news. Another boy was dressed up as Akura, and he brought Krishna and Balaram to Kamsa's capital. And Nityananda, who was watching this dramatic play, began to shed tears just like the gopis, and the ground was filled with his tears. They created a miniature city of Mathura, and one boy was playing like he was a gardener, another boy was playing like Kubja, and they were putting sandalwood on Kubja's crooked back. And they enacted the pastimes of killing the Kuvalya elephant and of the wrestlers Chanura and Mustika. And then, when they enacted the pastime of killing Kamsa, Lord Nityananda stood up and he began dancing jubilantly, making all of his friends laugh. One time, Nityananda dressed up as Vamanadev, and they enacted the entire pastime of cheating Bali by putting his foot upon his head. Someone else had dressed up like Sukracharya, and thus they were spending their entire days absorbed in the wonderful pastimes of Lord Krishna. They also enacted wonderful pastimes of Lord Ramchandra. One time they created the bridge to cross the ocean to Lanka. And Nityananda acted as Lakshman, complete with a bow. He was rebuking Sugriva. He was saying, "Oh, king of monkeys, my lord is in distress, and I have come to kill you." One time he was chastising Parasuram, and he said, "I'm not at fault. You leave here." So they had this wonderful continuous mood, always in the mood of Krishna, always in the mood of his devotees, always glorifying the Supreme Lord. Another time they were enacting the killing of Indradrit, who was the son of Ravana, and Nityananda was playing the part of Lakshma. And at that time, there was a fight between Lakshman and Ravana. And Ravana, the boy who was playing Ravana, he threw a lotus petal at Lord Nityananda, who was playing Lakshman. And it hit him in the chest. So when it hit him in the chest, Lord Nityananda, in the mood of Lakshman, he became unconscious. And the boys were stunned. They couldn't revive him, and they started to cry. They were all around him crying, and his parents came. And when they saw their son lying there on the ground without moving, they became in an acute level of distress. Those of you who have children can imagine what you would feel like if you saw your child just lying there without moving. I had that personal experience actually one time when we were staying with Srila Prabhupada at John Lennon's place. My daughter was playing in the corner and suddenly she was quiet. So as parents know, if your child becomes too quiet, something may be wrong. Either they're doing something really naughty or something is wrong. So in this case, I looked and my daughter was just lying there. And when I went to look at her, I saw that actually she had turned blue. And that's not natural for a child to be blue. So we had to rush quickly, and, you know, go to a doctor. And I was chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. And the doctor looked at me and he said, can you please be quiet? I can't hear the pulse. I can't hear the heart. And I'm thinking, oh my God, you know, I can't, you know, here I am, the mother, I can't even save the child, you know. And the one thing I can do is chant Hare Krishna, and the doctor's telling me, be quiet, you know. So, you know, very distressing situation. So the parents were there. They didn't even know what to do. He was just lying there. And the boys had forgotten that before they started this drama, Nityananda had told them, if I become unconscious, surround me and start crying. And then send Hanuman, one of the other boys who's dressed up as Hanuman, send Hanuman to get some herbs. And these herbs will be revive me as soon as the medicine is put in my nose. But in their confusion at seeing the Lord in this unconscious condition, they completely forgot that instruction. So as they were crying and they were saying, oh, brother, please get up, brother, please get up. They suddenly recalled the order. And the boy who was playing Hanuman went into action and he went to get the medicine. One other boy was playing a renunciate. And when Hanuman came to his ashram, he was giving him some fruit and some roots. And he said, oh, please stay here for some time in my ashram. But the boy said, no, sir, I have to go complete my mission. I can't delay. Lakshman is unconscious. So in this way, he was going on in this mood. And then he went, he told this renunciant, you know, I'm on my way to the Gandhamandapam Hill, and I have to get this medicine. Only then will Lakshman survive. But the renunciant, he was persistent. He says, well, at least before you go, please take a bath. So he agreed. He went down to the lake to take his bath. And at that lake, a big crocodile grabbed him by the foot and was pulling him into the lake. So he was fighting this crocodile. And, of course, he defeated that crocodile. And then on his way back to the ashram, a rakshasa appeared and he threatened to eat him. And he looked at this raksha and he goes, your ravana is a dog. Get out of my way. And he fought the raksha and he defeated him. So from that point, he went on the Tathantamanana Hill. And when he got there, there were these Gandharvas and they were getting in the way. So he had to fight with all the Gandharvas. And then, after he was able to defeat the Gandharvas, he just grabbed the entire mountain and he took it back. So another boy was playing doctor and he was meditating on Lord Rama. And he took the medicines from the hill and he put it by the nose of Lord Nityananda, who was lying there unconscious. And immediately he came to the senses. And when his parents saw that, they were completely amazed. And Hadai Pandit asked him, where did you learn these pastimes? And Nityananda just said, they are all my pastimes. So in this way, there was a little hint about Nityananda's mood. And thank you. And in this way, his childhood life is going on. As was related, the sannyasi appeared. know, everything was just like so wonderful. His parents were so blessed. They were so happy. No one could stand to see Nityananda out of sight. So constantly he was either going to their homes or they were going to his home. And his parents were feeling no lack of joy. And then that sannyasi came. And they were very happy to receive the sannyasi. And he spent the whole night. And the next day when he was going to leave, he said, "I'm going to the holy places, but I really need an assistant. So I have one request from you." And Hadai Pandit, who was in the nature and the habit of serving, he said, "Yes, of course." But of course, when he heard what the request was, his mind was numb. Because he requested, "Please give me your son. He can travel with me and serve me, and I will take him to all the holy places." So this was a very painful situation for Hadai Pandit. He was considering what to do. You know, he thought about how Lord Ram was taken by Vishwamit Muni, how hard that was, what a decision that was for his father to make. And, you know, of course, he went to speak with his wife, and she, you know, she was very wise. She just said, "Whatever you decide, that is best." But he understood that as a Brahmin, he had to keep his word. So with great reluctance, he allowed his son, his young son, it was explained this morning, he was only 12 or 14 years old, and he allowed him to go with the sannyasi. Is there anybody here who has a son who would very happily say, "Please go if a sannyasi asks to take your son"? You know? Anybody here would volunteer their son to go with service sannyasi? You know, we are so attached. And he was also attached, but he had a higher principle, and he was therefore attached also to that higher principle. So he was, you know, of course, actually, this type of leavings, they are pastimes. They are not in the ordinary sense of departure. But still, it was so intense that when he actually left, Hadai Pandit fell unconscious. And for 3 months, he was just in this complete confusion, like a madman. And he didn't eat any grains, yet like a 3 month ekadashi. But this, you know, from the spiritual point of view, it is just a pastime meant for delivering the fallen souls. And it is said that even a Muslim would cry to hear of Ram Chandra's lament upon losing Sita. So there is a great deep, you know, sentiments and emotions attached to these pastimes, but they are there for the ultimate good of the conditioned souls. I know, just like Kapila left his widowed mother, Devahuti, and Sukadev Goswami, he left his father, Vyasadev. You know, can you imagine that scene, that the son is born, he comes out, and he just heads straight for the forest. You know, and the father's calling, "My dear son, my dear son," and he just doesn't even look back. He doesn't even say goodbye, you know. Lord Chaitanya left Mother Sachi. So the great souls, they have these departing pastimes. So then Nityananda was wandering about. He went to Vakreshwara, he went to Vaidyanath, he went to Goa, he went to Kashi, he went to the abode of Shiva where the Ganges is beginning. And then from there he went to his former birthplace, Mathura, and he sported in the river at Vishwamitghat. And then he visited all the 12 forests of Vrindavan. And from there he went to Govardhan. And from there he went to Gokula, and he saw the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj. And when he saw that courtyard, he sat and he began to weep tears. And then he offered his obeisances to Madan Gopal, and he left for Hastinapur. And at Hastinapur, he saw the home of the Pandavas, and again he was overcome with great emotion and was weeping. And he was remembering Balaram's Hastinapur activities. And in that memory, he started crying out, "Oh, Haladar, oh, Haladar, save me, Haladar," and offered his obeisances. From there he went to Dwarka and bathed in the ocean, and from there to Shidipur and to Matsya Tirtha. He went to Kurukshetra and Bindu Sarovara. He went to Bapash and Sudarshan Tirtha. And at last, after many other places, he came to Namishtaranya, and from there he went to Ahodya, and eventually he went to Kanyakumari. So all of this as a young boy in his teens, his early adolescence, you know. So during this time, during this wanderings, he had the ecstatic fortune of meeting Madhavendrapuri. And this was a very momentous occasion. He fell unconscious, and Madhavendrapuri also fell unconscious. When they came to their external senses, they embraced and they cried. And they both rolled together in their sand, and their tears were satisfying Mother Bhumi. Nityananda began to speak. He said, All of my pilgrimages have now become fruitful. Today I have seen the lotus feet of Madhavendrapuri. Seeing his ecstatic love of God, my life has become successful. And he explained that he went to all these holy places, and he said, all I saw was sand and thorns. I saw the places of Krishna's pastimes, but I didn't see Krishna. I didn't see him. But now, seeing Madhavendrapuri, my life has become successful. Madhavendrapuri said that he was feeling such ecstatic emotions upon meeting Nityananda. And his disciples felt very intense attachment. His disciples, such as Ishwarapuri, Hidif, and Brahmanandapuri, they all felt attachment for Nityananda. And together they were traveling, relishing Krishna Katha. And they lost time, whether it was day or night, or which day it was, because they were together absorbed in such ecstatic love of Krishna. Madhavendrapuri commented that Krishna's mercy has surely been given to me by such a friend as Nityananda. Wherever one finds Nityananda, that place is a transcendental place. And if one hears Nityananda's name, attachment for Krishna Chandra is assured. If the slightest envy of Nityananda occurs, Krishna will never bestow that person a favor. So together they were wandering for some time like this. And eventually Nityananda went alone to Braj. And he was wandering around Braj, just waiting for Lord Chaitanya to display his opulences. During that time, it said he was speaking unintelligibly. No one could understand. He was going here and there, but no one could understand what his mood was, what he was saying. During this period, Lord Chaitanya began his Sankirtan activities. But Lord Chaitanya was feeling disoriented. He was feeling distressed, not seeing Nityananda. So Lord Chaitanya, he was feeling in his heart that Lord Nityananda must come. But he didn't really say that. And he made some indication, Lord Chaitanya made some indication to his devotees. He said that in 1 or 2 days, a very extraordinary personality will come. Now it so happened that he came, Lord Nityananda actually appeared on that very day. But the Lord told his devotees, the Lord had worshipped Vishnu, he'd gone down to the Ganga to take a bath, and then he came and sat with his devotees, and he revealed to them an ecstatic dream that he had. He said that in this dream, that a beautiful chariot with a flag came to his door, and in that chariot was sitting a very remarkable person. He carried a large pillar on one shoulder, and on his other shoulder, on his left hand, he had a water pitcher. And that he had a stick tucked into his clothes. And his clothes, his garments, were blue, and he had a blue chadar on his chest. He said he had a wonderful earring on his left ear. You may know that one name of Nityananda is Eka Kundal, one meaning one earring, Eka Kundal. So that is one of Nityananda's names. He said he had this wonderful earring on his left, on his ear. And he said this personality was none other than Haladhar Balaram. He said, and I kept, and this personality sitting on the chariot kept asking, is this the house? Is this the house of Nimai Pandit? Then Lord Chaitanya was speaking, I have never seen anyone so powerful. Remember, this is like his dream. I never saw anybody so powerful. I was severely stunned. I was saying, who are you? Who are you? But he just smiled and he said, I am your brother. We will meet together tomorrow. Then the Lord fell into a trance in the mood of Balaram, back to his, you know, with his friends. He, after relating that story, he fell into a trance in the mood of Balaram. And he cried out, bring me wine, bring me wine. And Srivas said, everybody else was a little confused. You know, what is this? The Lord is calling for wine. What does he possibly mean? And Srivas said, listen, that wine is right here in front of you. You only have to give it, and only those who you give it to can relish it. So then the Lord disclosed, I have a feeling in my heart that a very holy person has arrived in Navadvip. Srivas, you go out and find him. So Srivas, he was a little bewildered, and the Lord said, go find him. Find who has come here and find out where they've come from. So Srivas went out, and he was looking everywhere in all of Navadvip. He even went to the outer villages of Navadvip, but he couldn't find anyone. So he came back, and the Lord was a little bit smiling. And he said, so what have you have found? And he said, my Lord, I could find no one. So then the Lord just kind of smiled, and he said, okay, come with me. We'll look together. We'll find him. And they started in a big procession, and the Lord was walking in a very strong way, and he was roaring like an elephant. Nobody could understand what was going on or why he was behaving like that. And they went to the house of Nandanacharya. And at Nandanacharya's house, Nityananda was sitting in a trance. And the Lord stood before him. And Nityananda was in such a state of trance that he didn't appear to know that the Lord was before him. And Lord Chaitanya asked Srivas to recite a beautiful verse from the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And while he was reciting this verse, Nityananda fell further into ecstasy. And he began to cry. And he began to weep. Where were you? Where were you? He said, today I am going to catch a thief. Now I have caught you, and you will not escape. And he embraced Nityananda. And when he embraced Nityananda, Nityananda fell unconscious into his lap. Gadadhar was looking at this, and he was thinking, well, this is contradictory. Ananta Sesh is supposed to carry Vishwambar, but today his sprite is smashed in the lap of the Lord. But there was this very extraordinary meeting between these two great personalities that no one could really understand, but except for the two personalities themselves. And from that moment onward, the Sankirtan Yajna was in full force. And all of the devotees were in constant ecstasy in the presence of these two wonderful personalities. What time is the arti? What is the time now? Okay. So, didn't want to run over there. This morning, when the Prabhu was giving class, he made a very good observation. You know, he was explaining that when Lord Chaitanya left his parents' home, and I've already mentioned how heavy that was for Hidayat Pandit in particular, And yet here he was, this young child, you know, as heavy as it was for Hadai Pandit, it would also, you would think, be kind of a very emotional situation for a young child to be suddenly taken away from his parents. But the Lord went with that sannyasi without even looking back. He went happily with that sannyasi. And I was thinking, many of us in the early days when we left our homes, or we left our situations to join the Hare Krishna movement, and many of you have had the same situation where you've had to leave your homes because somehow or other our parents weren't understanding the situation or they weren't favorable. So, we've just had to leave. There was one young girl during the early days in London, and she hadn't yet met Srila Prabhupada, but she'd heard about him. And she was coming every day to the temple to hear more and more about Srila Prabhupada and to chant. She became so attached to the chanting. And she was only 15 years old, so a very young girl. And her parents did not at all approve of her coming to the temple. And the more she came, the more they disapproved. So finally she was thinking about running away, because she couldn't tolerate the conditions of being restricted by her parents. But some devotees were encouraging her, yes, you just come to the temple, we'll take care of you. And others said, well, maybe you should write Prabhupada first and ask his advice. So she took that, she wrote a letter, but in those days, no email, no cell phones, so the letters had to follow Prabhupada wherever he was in the world. So the answer hadn't come yet, but the situation at home had become even more intolerable. So one day she made up her mind, I will leave. I'll leave tonight. So she went home as usual, and very early in the morning, she got a few things together. And she was still attached to some of her possessions, so she put them in a box. And among those possessions was a tape recorder. And in those days, tape recorders were a little bigger than they are nowadays. So she put that in the box, and she was 3 o'clock in the morning, in the dead of night, going down the stairs quietly to leave her parents' home. And somehow or other, her father sensed something was going on. So he opened the door of his room, and he saw his daughter going down the stairs with a big box. And he came down after her. He was saying, where are you going? What do you think you're doing? And she couldn't speak. She just couldn't speak. She's only 15 and her father's standing over her. So she started to go and he started to come. And she just took the box and she threw it in the stairs. And when she threw this box on the stairs, it flew open and the tape recorder flew out. And somehow it hit the play button. And all of a sudden, the tape that was on started playing, and it was Srila Prabhupada chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And she just turned around and ran down the stairs, got the door open, and ran out into the dark of the night. She had no money, she had nothing. And they lived a little bit outside of London. But somehow she made it into London. She made it to the temple. And she never, ever left the Association of the Devotees. Her name is Vrindavaneeshwari Ki Jai. So when he was telling that story of Nityananda's just leaving home without looking back, I was thinking, yes, we have many devotees in this movement like that today. Vrindavaneeshwari. Very wonderful devotee. You can see that on one of the DVDs that Yadu Bar has put out. You can see that story is there. I want to thank you all very much. And may this wonderful auspicious day be increased in its auspiciousness as we sit and chant the glories of Lord Nityananda. Lord Nityananda Ram Ki Jai.